preaching of the prophets and the apostles would be labeled negative preaching today. Most would say of Isaiah and Ezekiel, John the Baptist and Paul, don't be so negative. You shouldn't be so critical of others and other religions. And the fact is, or was, most of what they prophesied and preached was negative, denouncing their generation, particularly the religious. And I find it very hard in my day to say anything positive about my own generation, religious as it is. In fact, I'm convinced from the Word of God that we are living in a day of religious apostasy, or rather, in the words of Paul to Timothy, the last days when most will not endure sound doctrine, but shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fable. Yes, these are perilous times in Paul's word. Though many have a form of godliness or religion, they deny the power thereof, the power of God, the power of Christ, the power of the gospel. And it all starts, it's all to be blamed on the pulpit, where men and even some women are in it for money, self-glory, men who Peter say are unlearned and unstable and wrest or twist the scriptures to their own destruction and the destruction of those who hear them. Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, where I'll be reading from, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, this is a passage we looked at a few weeks ago, and the Apostle Paul, in one verse here, gives one all-conclusive mark of false preachers, and then he gives four marks of true preachers. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, I'm reading verse 17. The Apostle Paul writes, "We are not as many." Stop right there. Paul said there are many. In other places he said there are many unruly and vain talkers. John said there are many antichrists, many false prophets, many deceivers. The Lord Jesus Christ himself said many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. And so Paul says, we are not as many which corrupt the word of God or deal deceitfully with the word of God. Corrupt the word of God. Now, I strongly believe in everyone using the King James Bible for many reasons. The King James Bible for many reasons. Number one, it has been miraculously preserved by God for over 380 years now. It has been used in the conversion of countless, yea, millions of souls. It is in the language of the King James. It was written in the language of the King, and that language is best suited to declare the God who reigns, or the God who is sovereign, who is absolute monarch. See, this idea of sovereignty, or truth of sovereignty, of an absolute monarch who does as he will, with whom he will, according to his own sovereign will, this is a lost concept in our day. We have no idea what that means. Well, the Scriptures declares God to be King of Kings. And another reason is, everyone needs the same source to study, the same source to consult. Otherwise, you have differing versions. Did you ever play that child's game called gossip, to where someone would whisper a sentence in the first person's ear, and it in turn would be whispered to another and to another and to another, until finally the last person was to say out loud what they heard. And the end result didn't even resemble what was first told. Well, that is what is happening today with all of these perversions of God's Word. They don't even resemble the original. God's Word, you see, is not to be conformed to man, modern man, or the age of man, but man, rather, needs to be conformed to God's Word. And so Paul says, many translate the truth out of Scripture. Many, more specifically, many corrupt the Word by making it say what it doesn't say and not saying what it does say, or that is, adding to or leaving out from God's Word. You know, the most telling thing is how the preaching of the Word, that is, verse-by-verse preaching of God's Word, has been replaced with music, miracles, and testimonials. You want to know what the average so-called church thinks of God's Word? Look at their bulletin boards. Thousands of verses in God's Word, full of eternal truth, and is the power of God unto salvation, yet men would rather use their clever cliches than God's Word. That'll tell you right there what they think of God's Word. Well, Paul gives four marks of true preacher. In verse 17, he says, we're not as many which corrupt the Word of God, but as of sincerity, as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in or of Christ. He says, as of sincerity. True preachers of the gospel, like Paul was, are sincerely in this thing of preaching for one reason. And that one reason, that primary reason, is the glory of God. Not their own fame or vain glory. Not for fortune or money. While all of the prophets and all but one of the apostles were killed for their preaching. They did not receive fame. They were not famous, but rather infamous to most. They did not become rich by being in the ministry. Far from it. The Apostle Paul was, and most of them were put in prison and reduced to poverty. Oh, they were sincerely or truly out to glorify God. Men consumed with the truth, the Word of God, and the need to declare it. Conversion of souls. You notice I did not say that they were chiefly in it for the conversion of souls. No. Conversion of souls is not the primary goal of the true preacher. Because if it is, he will be more interested in results than the truth. He'll be more interested in numbers rather than God's glory. And so Paul says, as of sincerity, or that is, sincerely out to glorify God and do the souls of men good. The second thing he says, as of sincerity, but as of God. In other places he said, as though God did beseech you by us. As the oracles of God, he says, as ambassadors of Christ. Ambassador of Christ. Or that is, ordained and sent by Him. Let me ask you, are ambassadors to other countries, are they elected by the general public? What about cabinet ministers, ministries, or ministers of the cabinet? Are they elected by the general public? Do they apply for the job? No. And neither are preachers or ministers of the gospel. Neither are the ambassadors of Christ. This is not a profession one decides to enter, or like a vocation. It is not a position we apply for and then go to school to study for. No prophet, no apostle ever applied for the job. Nor were they recommended by men. Paul said, the gospel I received, I didn't get it from man, and it's not of man, but of God, of Christ. And so Paul says we're as of God, or ambassadors chosen of Christ. Now, I realize that anyone can say that. But you'll know the true from the false by these rules in this verse. And the third thing he says, the third mark he says, as of sincerity, as of God, in the sight of God. Or that is, true preachers are conscious of one only who sees them, one only who hears them. They're conscious of one whose approval they seek. And it is God Almighty. as an ambassador is conscious of the king who sent him, as an ambassador is conscious of him who sent him with a message to declare, and wouldn't dare leave out anything the king told him to say. He wouldn't dare interpret, or rather put into his own words what the king says, what the king said. Can you imagine an ambassador going to a foreign country and begin to hem-haw around and apologize for what he's been told to say, by saying, now this is what the king really meant to say. Can you imagine? No, he wouldn't dare do that. He wouldn't dare leave out or add to or apologize for anything in the king's counsel or testimony, but stands forth and boldly says, hear ye, thus saith the King of kings and Lord of lords. So that's what the true gospel preacher does. In the sight of God, conscious of God who sent him, conscious of what God says, which glorifies God. And he's in it sincerely. Sincerely. Well, the last thing that Paul says in this verse, the last mark of a true preacher of the gospel, and finally, and most importantly, is his message. Look at it. He says, as of sincerity, as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in, or rather, of Christ. Christ, Jesus Christ, is the King. He is God. He is Lord. He is salvation. He is the great high priest, yea, the only high priest. He is the only mediator between God and man. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Christ Jesus is the gospel. He is the one and only message of the preacher of the gospel. Christ is the message of the messenger. And so Paul says, we're not as many which corrupt or deal deceitfully with the word of God by translating it away, by adding to it, by taking away from it, by making it say what it doesn't say, by not saying what it does say. He says we're in this thing in sincerity, or that is sincerely in the ministry for the glory of God, for the truth's sake, for Christ's sake, and for the sincere or true good of men's soul, not for their applause, not for their approval, not for popularity, not for their money. Paul said in one place, it's not yours that I seek or what you can give me, but you, he said. And then he says, as of God, as though God did beseech you by us, as ambassadors of God, conscious of the one who sent them, conscious and in it for his approval, and in the sight of God, conscious of God listening and God hearing them and God seeing them. And he says, our one message is of God's Son, the one whom God sent us to declare, the one whom God delights in, the one whom angels praise and sing of, the one whom men must bow before, the one message which men must hear, Christ and Christ alone. Well, I hope you heard this message. And if you want it, you can write to us and we'll send it to you free of charge. Until next Sunday, good day.